Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and, of course, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, the films Alpha, The Bride, and Melania.
Got three films this week which are all about women, which is to say the first two are both written and directed by women, and the third one is all about a woman. So a very female episode this week, and I'm very pleased about that. Women continue to make more and more strides in what has always been a very male-dominated film industry. The first I want to talk about is a movie called Alpha. Sometimes I find myself in the position of not liking a movie that most of my fellow critics really like. This time it's the other way around. I like this movie more than many of my fellow movie critics do. Some of them like it too. But I think it's a pretty interesting movie. And I think one of the problems and one of the reasons why some other critics and moviegoers aren't finding it so exciting, so good, is because they don't have their eyes open. It does have a fairly confusing kind of a storyline, yes. But if you look at the pictures and if you sort of look at the acting and you do that sort of thing, I really think it's quite an achievement. So Alpha has already been labeled with one of these all too familiar tags. It's being called body horror, and I guess it is in a certain respect, but it's certainly much more complicated than that label might make it sound. The main character is a little girl, not that little. She's 13 years old during much of the film, but we also have the past and the present being very intertwined in this movie. So sometimes we're in the past, sometimes we're in the present. It's not always entirely clear which we're in, and the end appears to be both at once, more or less. So I know that sounds confusing, and it is a bit confusing, but again, I like this movie as a movie, and I, you know, the kind of story confusions and ambiguities and so forth don't really bother me that much. Anyway, the main character, Alpha, that's her name. She's 13 during a great deal of the movie, and she lives with her mother. They are Berbers, in their ancestry at least. There's also a grandmother. She's very much not ancestry with her. They're from North Africa originally, but they are living in France. We are in some unidentified city somewhere in France. And there is, and this is the big kind of conceit of the movie, there is a disease which is sweeping all over the place. It is apparently a blood-borne disease. It sounds kind of like AIDS, but the symptoms are certainly very, very different, because what basically happens is that people turn to stone. It's a pretty awful disease, as you can well imagine. It's not really clear how much pain people are in, but you can see that they are losing their bodily functions as they turn to stone. There was an illness in the great TV show Game of Thrones that this reminded me a little bit of, but this carries it really a lot farther, because we have a real epidemic which is sweeping around and people end up in the hospital. So Alpha's mother is in fact a physician, and she works in a hospital where a lot of these people are there with this horrible disease. And in the meanwhile, the big main plot point of the movie is that another character is the mother's brother. Obviously, that would be Alpha's uncle, whose name is Amin, and he is a heroin addict. And he is trying to get clean, trying to overcome his addiction, trying to kick the habit. And so he moves in with Alpha and her mother, so that the mother, who is a physician after all, can take care of him. And he and Alpha become quite close with each other. In the meanwhile, crises take place at the hospital where Alpha's mother works, and they're running out of beds, and there's not enough room for all these people who have this horrible disease and that kind of thing. And there's also a plot line about Alpha's affair with another kid in her school. The thing that kicks all this off is that Alpha has gotten a tattoo, not a real professional tattoo in a tattoo parlor, but a tattoo that somebody gave her at a party. And now she and her mother, the physician, are very worried that this might have given her the disease, because apparently it is a bloodborne disease. And there's a lot of talk in this movie about needles. We have the needle that gave the tattoo. We have the needles that the heroin addict uses. and of course, with diseases like AIDS or the disease in this movie, clean needles are absolutely essential if you're going to have anything to do with needles that go into your skin. And there's various other plot lines that go on too. There's one about a gay school teacher and so forth. Again, the movie is somewhat discombobulated. I found sometimes, wait a minute now, are we in the past or the future? Just what is going on here? But I just found it visually really quite fascinating. Now, this movie was written and directed by Julia Ducournau, and her previous movie, Titane, won all kinds of awards, including the top prize at the Cannes Film Festival. And I thought it was terrible, and I still think it was terrible. Some of her earlier movies are okay. She tends to make very, very tough body horror focused movies. That is what she does. I really did not like her last movie, which won all these honors. And this movie, which a lot of people aren't liking, I really think is very compelling as an audio visual experience. And I really do recommend it. Be adventurous in your movie going, folks. Give Alpha a shot. It has some tough stuff in it. It's about a disease, but I found it really quite fascinating to look at and listen to. It's really a quite a remarkable and very ambitious movie. Next of all, I would like to talk about The Bride, or I suppose I should say The Bride, because the title has an exclamation point, which sometimes happens in the movies. This is written and directed by Maggie Gyllenhaal. I happen to think she is an excellent, excellent actor. She is just terrific, and I almost always admire her work acting. This is her second feature film as a director, and I have to say, The Bride does not seem to reveal much in the way of writing or directing talent from her at the present moment, at least in 2026. The Bride is sort of a reboot of The Bride of Frankenstein. I have to say right now that I totally recommend skipping The Bride and going back and looking at the original movie, The Bride of Frankenstein from the 1930s. It's better than the original Frankenstein. It's an amazing, terrific, funny, marvelous movie. Oh, if only Maggie Gyllenhaal could have pulled that off again, but she really didn't. Anyway, here's what happens with The Bride. Again, a very complicated story. It jumps around in time and so forth and so on. But it starts out with the author of the original novel Frankenstein back in the early 1800s, Mary Wollstonecraft Shelley. And she tells us in the audience that there was another story that she wanted to tell after she had written Frankenstein, but she died. But now she's determined that she's going to tell it. And since Frankenstein is a sort of a supernatural story, it's really a mad scientist story, really not supernatural, but it's a horror story. So in this case, we can go clearly into the realm of the supernatural, because what Mary Shelley does in order to get this story out, the story that happened after Frankenstein, is to sort of take possession, take spirit possession of a woman who lives in Chicago back in the 1930s. And she becomes really the main character of the movie. So what happens is that the Frankenstein monster shows up. And he shows up there in Chicago, and he arrives, goes to see a physician, played by Annette Bening. I should mention that the Frankenstein monster, who's known as Frank in the movie, is played by Christian Bale, a wonderful, wonderful actor. So Frank goes to see this physician named Dr. Cornelia Euphronius, because he's lonely. It's been a century since he was created. And he really, really would like some company. And he understands that since this physician, Cornelia Euphronius, is interested in what's called in the movie reinvigoration, he says maybe she can create a bride for him, a wife for him. And yep, by this time, the woman who has been possessed by Mary Shelley has been killed by some gangsters, and so she's got a nice fresh corpse. So they decide to use that corpse for their experiment. And they do. They reanimate her, to use a more familiar term from the movies, and all kinds of adventure goes on from there. All kinds of stuff happens. She has no idea of her previous life. She's lost her all memory of her previous life. And so Frankenstein tells her, that is Frank, the monster, tells her that, yep, she is actually my bride, and you had some sort of an accident and you lost your memory. And she says, okay, I guess so. And from there, the story continues. It is full of gangsters, it is full of science fiction. It is full of people running and shooting and jumping and driving cars and doing things like this. And I thought it was pretty awful. One of the interesting things, and not interesting in a good way, about The Bride is that it's just full of things all scrambled together. My gosh, it's got satires of old movies. It's got satires of gangster kind of stuff. It's got satires of old horror movies. It's got all these things, and it steals from so many other movies. I was really struck by it's constantly taking things from other movies. Good heavens, it takes things from Mel Brooks's comedy Young Frankenstein, and uses them. And apparently, I guess they expect us to, some of us say, "Oh, what fun. That's an homage to a good old comedy." Or, you might just say they couldn't come up with their own ideas, so they stole all these ideas from all these other movies. And there's a lot of other movies that I saw recycled in this movie, and I did not find it amusingly done, and I did not find it interestingly done. My main complaint about the movie The Bride is that, not that it doesn't measure up to its predecessor. And by the way, this is not the first time there's been a reboot of The Bride of Frankenstein. I think this is probably the worst one. But my main objection is that it's just a noisy, in-your-face, over-the-top, hitting you on the head with a hammer all the time kind of experience that is just not pleasant. Now, I have to say, has a wonderful, wonderful cast, really an amazing cast. Our main character is played by Jesse Buckley. I mentioned that the Frankenstein monster is played by Christian Bale. Peter Sarsgaard has a major role. He's always good. Annette Bening, again, plays that physician who helps Frankenstein get his bride. That is, the monster get his bride. Maggie Gyllenhaal's brother, Jake Gyllenhaal, another really terrific actor, is in it, although in an unfortunately small part. Penelope Cruz is in it. So, as they used to say in Hollywood, what a cast! And unfortunately, what a movie. It's just not very good. I really recommend staying away from The Bride. It's just a big noisy mess. Now, after The Bride of Frankenstein, where could one possibly go that would make sense? Well, naturally, to Melania Trump. And I want to talk now about the movie Melania, the documentary, which apparently Melania Trump doesn't think of as a documentary. Apparently, she thinks of it as a work of art that she herself has crafted. But it's been out for a while now, been out for a couple of months, and I've been dodging it and avoiding it. But I finally decided I have to take the plunge, especially now that it's streaming and anybody can see it. And I just have to let people know what a tedious picture this is. Unbelievably boring. My gosh. Okay. It was directed by Brett Ratner, who, by the way, has a very bad reputation around the movie circuit these days, but that's a whole other story. And I'm putting aside my political feelings when I talk about this movie. I'm just looking at it as a motion picture. Now, it takes place in the almost 3 weeks before the second inauguration of Donald Trump. And it focuses, of course, on Melania Trump, but her husband is in it quite a lot as well. And we see her doing all of these things that apparently we're supposed to find endearing and fascinating. We see her endlessly getting fitted for different outfits and tweaking the things. Oh, could this be a little bit tighter? Could this be a little bit looser? Okay, fascinating stuff. Not for this kid. Boring, boring, boring. We see her fussing over the decorations at a dinner. We see her fussing about this, fussing about that. Most of the movie is really Melania Trump fussing about things. And we're supposed to consider this to be absolutely fascinating, apparently. Oh my golly, it is so dull. There is nothing that happens in this movie. The narrator is Melania Trump. Her voice is utterly unexpressive. She sounds almost like some sort of AI bot. And her face is equally expressive or inexpressive. It looks like a face that might have been concocted by AI. She rarely changes expression. Usually it's just sort of a frozen mask or occasionally a grin and then back to the frozen mask. And she's just not interesting to look at. She's not interesting to listen to, and the things that she does in the movie are not interesting. We see a little bit of behind the scenes stuff of moving up to the inauguration and all the festivities and whatnot, but they're not interesting either. It's sort of fun to sit there and spot other people when they occasionally show up on camera. Oh my gosh, look, there's JD Vance. Oh my gosh, look, there's Usher Vance. Oh my gosh, look, there's Kamala Harris. Oh my gosh, look, there's the former president Joe Biden. Okay, very, very, it's sort of fun to spot them. It's something to do while you're watching this movie anyway. But I just have to say, politics aside, cultural issues aside, all those things aside, this is such a boring movie that I was really struck. It's like you have to go out of your way to make a movie with such a little teeny bit in it that might even be of interest to almost anybody. I just found it just such a crashing bore. It's sort of like a reality show. Reality shows, of course, are not real at all. They're all edited and concocted. But like some reality shows, this sort of has a lot of just stuff that just seemed to be filling time to no particular purpose. So I suppose I'm going on for too much time now about this myself, but I really have to let people know. You know, this film was commissioned when it was made. $40 million Amazon paid to get this movie made. Well, it has been a total bomb. It has just completely failed to find an audience. I'm sure that Amazon is losing a huge amount of the $40 million that it paid for this. Apparently, a lot of it went to Melania Trump herself. But anyway, it's a bomb. Probably people aren't going to see it anyway. But I just had to let everybody know my advice is stay away from Melania. It is one boring movie. And so that is my woman-centered story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Alpha, The Bride, and Melania.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.